Hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And you know, if you're new here, I want to encourage you to text the number on the screen. Let us know that you're here. We'd love to connect with you. And man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today through the message, how he's going to speak to you. So let's dive in. Welcome to Grace River Online at Home. My name is Jacob. I get to be the student pastor here at Grace River, and I'm so glad that you're here today watching. I hope that today is an encouragement to you. Today we are doing a one-week standalone sermon called Carry Your Corner. I'm really excited about this. Again, I'm hoping and I'm praying that it would speak directly to you as you grow in your journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. Again, it's called Carry Your Corner. Last week, I just moved. I moved into a brand new apartment to make space for the baby that we have coming in July. And man, we're just so excited. What an exciting time for us. But I hate moving. Something to know about me is that moving is one of like the top three worst things that I feel like somebody could ever do. I don't enjoy it. I don't like packing up. I don't like the physical labor of packing everything into a box and then putting it into a truck and then unpacking it all. It's just not my favorite. I hate asking people to help me move. And here's also the thing, if you're watching this and you're getting ready to move, I don't like when people ask me to move. But you know, I'm gonna try to be a good person. If you ask me to move, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it, hopefully, and maybe if you're lucky, I'll say yes. But that's something to know about me, is that I hate to move, and I also hate helping people move. But if you've ever helped somebody move, then you know that it does one of two things. Either your friendship with them will either get stronger or it will be over. And the moment that you know that you're in trouble is whenever the friend that asks you to help you move says, "Hey, can you help me move? It's just a few things." Listen, you and I both know that that is a lie straight from the enemy himself. Right? You never just help somebody move a few things. And if they do have just a few things, then you know this to be true, that they have the heaviest things on the face of the earth, right? It's this 300-pound dresser that doesn't even fit through a 30-inch doorway, and you're going down the stairs really carrying your corner, and you're acting as if you are Ross from Friends as you scream, "Pivot, pivot," just hoping that you don't drop their furniture. Why do I bring this up, though? I bring this up because life is heavy. And here's the reality, is that some people can't carry themselves. And what we actually see in Scripture is that God has asked us as friends, as followers of Jesus, to help carry them. That's the heart behind today's message. Carry your corner. Today we're going to be in Luke 5, verses 17 through 26. And this is the story of the four friends that lower their friend to the feet of Jesus. Man, I'm really excited about this. Read with me again. By the way, my big idea really quickly before we jump into that is that God honors the faith of those who are willing to carry others to Jesus. What we're gonna see is what this means for you and I. Again, I'm hoping, I'm praying that you would grow in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus as a result of today's message. But jump with me into Luke 5, verses 17 through 26. It says, "One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside of Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and they took off some tiles. And then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus." You have to understand, this was quite a scene. First century roofs were flat and they were relatively small. It was usually only one or two rooms per house. And the roofs were flat and they were made of clay, mud, and straw. What the homeowners would do is they would treat it as another living space, like a patio, if you will. They used it for storage, for drying things out, and so it was used for good. It was never used like a playground, like these guys, the four friends are using it. And so when these guys started digging through the roof, it would have been a loud and totally disruptive mess. I want you to look at what it says here in verse 20, though. It says, "Seeing their faith," pay attention to that, "seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, 'Young man, your sins are forgiven.' But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law said to themselves, 'Who does he think that he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins.' Jesus knew what they were thinking, and so he asked them, 'Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins.' Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home.'" You go to verse 25, and it says, "Immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and he went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, 'We have seen amazing things today.'" Again, this was quite the electric scene. This house would have been packed as Jesus was teaching. You had people from all over the area that were cramming into a house. And then next thing you know, right above them, dust is falling onto them. As they're listening and leaning into what Jesus has to say, dust is falling on their robes and they're having to wipe it off. And they're wondering, what in the world is happening? And next thing you know, there is a man that's being lowered by four friends down to the feet of Jesus. I can't help in this moment just think of the homeowner, though. This is a funny little piece that I like to put myself into. If I'm in this story, I like to think of myself as the homeowner. I'm like, who in the world is ripping a hole through my roof? Like, all I'm thinking about is how my insurance deductible is about to go out of the roof, no pun intended. But down comes a paralyzed man right in front of the feet of Jesus. You have to understand that this moment would have been bold. This moment was disruptive. This moment would have been desperate. But most importantly, this was a moment that was faith-filled. And here's what's powerful. What I love is that Jesus does not just see the young paralyzed man. He sees their faith, as that verse said earlier. He sees their faith, the friends, the roof rippers, the corner carriers. He honors their belief that if we could just get our friend to Jesus, that Jesus could do something miraculous in his life, that something has to change. That's the heartbeat behind today's message. Carry your corner. Be the kind of friend, the follower of Jesus, who doesn't just stop at sympathy, who says, "Oh man, that's unfortunate," but rather steps in, sees a need, fills the need, and says, "You know what? I'm not going to stop until we get this person to Jesus." The first point that I want you to take away from today is to carry your corner by pushing past obstacles, by pushing past obstacles. Verse 19, as we go back, says, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and they took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down in front of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Understand that these guys had every single reason to walk away. I would have probably walked away if I was one of them. That's why this story really challenges me, as I hope that it does for you. But these guys had every excuse to walk away. The crowd was too big. The front door was blocked. They couldn't get to Jesus. And inevitably, this wasn't even their emergency. But instead of quitting, what did they do? The four friends got creative. They said, you know what, if we can't go through the front door, if we can't get to Jesus with easy access, we're going to take the road less traveled and we're going to go on top of this roof and we're going to find a way to get him to Jesus. And I think there's a lesson to be learned here in the fact that faith does not give up at the first sign of resistance. I think that for a lot of us, myself included, we like to bail at the first closed door. What do I mean by that? We look at our friends that are on this metaphorical mat that are in our lives, and we pray for them once, and we offer to help out once, we invite once, and nothing changes. And what do we tell ourselves? Well, I guess it must not be God's will. But these friends, I love what these friends do. They say, you know what, as long as we're going to hold this mat, we are not going to give up. That's the kind of friend, that's the kind of follower of Jesus that I want to be. And so I want to ask you two questions. Who have you stopped praying for just because you've kind of given up hope on them? And then who have you given up on just because the front door was closed? Don't stop at the crowd. Don't stop at the first inconvenience. Don't stop at the resistance that you are facing. Carry your corner. Continue to bring the person that's on the mat in your life to Jesus. The second thing that you can carry your corner by doing is by trusting Jesus with the outcome. As you go to verse 20, back in this story, it says, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. Right? Like, this had to be the ultimate plot twist for the friends, because the friends had the expectation that they were going to dig a hole through this roof, that they were going to lower their friend to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus was going to be able to physically heal this man of being paralyzed. But what does Jesus do first? I think this is very, very interesting. He says that he's going to forgive him. He says, young man, your sins are forgiven. So Jesus leads with forgiveness. Why in the world would Jesus do such a thing? I believe that it's because Jesus cares more about your heart than just your legs. Yes, this man was paralyzed, and that was a problem. And what we're going to see a few verses later is that Jesus does heal the man of being paralyzed, but he starts with forgiveness. He leads with forgiveness. He recognized that his biggest issue was his sin. To give you some cultural context of this day, people believed that sickness was a direct reflection of your result of sin. If somebody was paralyzed, they actually believed that God was punishing that person. And so when Jesus forgives this man, he's showing the onlookers that not only does he have the authority over sin, but he also has the authority over suffering. And then, just to prove it, he tells this man to get up and walk. We see that in verse 24. So the miracle is confirmed. But again, I don't want you to miss the very first part of verse 20. It says, seeing their faith. If you have your Bible, I want you to underline those three words, seeing their faith. Not just the man that was paralyzed, he did not just see his faith, but he saw the faith of his friends. I'm here to encourage you that you cannot control the outcome of the person that's on your mat. The person that is paralyzed by fear, by worry, by anxiety, by depression, whatever it is, that person that is in your life, and you would recognize that that is a person that God has placed in my life, and and I have a responsibility to help them, you have to understand that your responsibility is not to control the outcome. That's what Jesus's responsibility is. Your job is to carry your corner, to believe boldly, to trust deeply, to bring people to Jesus with the kind of faith that says, I don't know how, but I know that He can. I know that Jesus can. And so keep showing up, keep praying, keep carrying your corner, and trust Jesus with the outcome. The third thing that you can do is to carry your corner by creating space for God's glory. Verse 25 says, and immediately as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and he went home praising God. This is one of my favorite details in the entire story, is that he walked out carrying the very thing that once carried him. You catch that? This man, the paralyzed man, is walking away with a thing that once carried him. His mat that he was on represented his sin, represented his shame, represented his pain, his limitation. And now, Jesus has used that mat as his testimony. He came in, lowered through a roof, and he's walking away with the very thing that once had him. Why is that so significant? That's so significant because it wasn't just a private breakthrough. It became a public display of God's glory. That's what happens whenever you and I carry our corner. Whenever we carry our corner, we allow God to do something that only He could do. We allow space for transformation in that person's life. You and I actually become a part of a testimony of that person's life. You give room for God to show off His grace. And I love verse 26. It says, everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God. I want you to understand from this verse, what we learn is that they don't praise the friends. They don't praise the friends' efforts. What do? They praised God. That, my friend, is the goal. Understand that, yes, God has placed this person in your life, and they may be paralyzed by fear, worry, anxiety, depression, whatever it is, and you have a responsibility to carry your corner, but understand also in the same vein that it's not about you, that God gets the glory, that you are not a carry, that you are not a corner carrier so that everybody would recognize your good deeds. You are doing what you're doing so that God would get the glory. Again, somebody in your life is likely laying on this mat right now. They're paralyzed by whatever it is, sin, shame, suffering, whatever that thing may be, and they might not have the strength to get to Jesus. What is your responsibility? Your responsibility is not to carry all of the weight. I don't want you to feel like you are responsible for every single thing that happens in their life. That's not what your responsibility is. Again, your responsibility is not the outcome. That's Jesus' responsibility. Your responsibility as a friend, as a follower of Jesus, is to carry your corner. Carry your corner with your prayers, with your presence, with your persistence. But as I've been talking, maybe you would say that you, if you're honest with yourself, haven't been able to think about anybody else that's on your mat because deep down you know that you're actually the one that's on that mat. You're stuck in your sin and your shame and your suffering, and you've tried as hard as you possibly could to fix it, to hide it, and to push through, but it's impossible. And you're to the point of just giving up. Can I just speak into your life really quickly and tell you something that could change everything in your life? Understand this, that Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. Just like He saw that paralyzed man, He sees you. And when Jesus sees you, he does not look at you as a project. He does not look at you as a failure or a problem, but he looks at you and says, hey, you know what? You are somebody that is worth stopping for. Think about it. In that moment, that paralyzed man is lowered to the feet of Jesus, and Jesus is in the middle of teaching to all kinds of people that are willing to listen. But he stops what he's doing in that present moment and he heals that man of his sin and his suffering. Here's the good news for you. If you find yourself on that mat today, listen, you do not have to earn your way to God. Jesus sees you and he comes to you. And so I want to challenge you with three next steps. The first one is to trust Jesus for the first time. Maybe you would recognize that you can't save yourself, that you need God, that you need his healing power, that you need somebody bigger than you, that you need the Savior of the world, King Jesus. Would you trust in him for the first time? Maybe you're also on that mat and you've been trying to do it all alone for far too long. Would you decide to ask for help? Be honest. Let people into your life. And understand that people are not coming into your life to judge you or condemn you. They want to help you. They want to become a corner carrier in your life. Maybe the third next step for you would be that you recognize that there is somebody paralyzed by something, whatever it is in your life. Would you become a corner carrier? Living like somebody else's breakthrough is on the other side just because of your obedience. Whatever it is, I pray that today you would have the next step, that you would have the courage to recognize what your next step is and actually do it. It's one thing for you to know what to do. It's another thing for you to actually recognize and follow through on what your next step is. If you are paralyzed by something, can I just encourage you one last piece that I want to leave you with? Don't leave this moment on the mat. Don't leave this moment on the mat. Let Jesus meet you. Let Jesus change you. Let Jesus transform you today. Can I pray for you? God, we love you and we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the hope that we can have in you. I pray for the friend that is listening in or watching this today, where they may recognize that they're actually the one that's on the mat. God, would you meet them in the middle of their mess? Would you change them? Would you transform them? Would you heal them? Would you do something that only you can do? But for the friend that is watching this today that recognizes that they have somebody in their life that is paralyzed by something, by sin, by shame, by whatever it is, God, would you help them recognize their need to be a corner carrier? God, may we be more like the friends that are in this story, and understanding that our faith in somebody else's life can actually make a difference. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, hey, thank you guys so much for being here. I hope that today was an encouragement to you. I hope to see you soon. If you've never been to Grace River, I want to invite you to one of our three in-person services at 8:30, 9:45, or 11 o'clock. I hope you have an amazing day. We'll see you back here next week. I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take. And you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.